today on Real Radio.
When you drop dead, that's only your body that drops dead. The part that thinks and sings and cries and has emotion and your passion and your dreams and your aggression and your all of the expression of you is nowhere found anywhere in your body. Wake up to that reality.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Lord Knows, Part 1, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, in these last few chapters, we're seeing Isaiah's persona as the evangelical prophet really held true with each passing verse. Many of his prophecies have already been fulfilled, like the coming of Jesus as the Messiah, but you know, some of them have yet to pass. For example, when Christ returns to set up his new kingdom here on earth. In Isaiah chapter 56, we learned that whether we are Jew or Gentile, rich or poor, male or female, we're all saved through Jesus Christ. He is the only one who suffered and died on the cross for our sins. We are all one in Christ, and He will not turn anyone away who comes to Him. Even if you feel too damaged or broken by emotional or physical abuse, the Lord loves you, and He wants to make you a brand new person through the power of the Holy Spirit. So today on day 2 of chapter 57, Pastor Jack tells us that the Lord knows the time when He will return, but we don't. It's that simple. That's why we're to watch and to pray, because we don't know when the Lord is about to extend His mercy to deliver us from the evil of this world. And now, continuing his lesson called The Lord Knows, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Listen to 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep or died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him, interesting, huh? Bring with Him those who have who died or are asleep in Jesus, talking about the body. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain, isn't that interesting? Paul the apostle included himself in the we statement. Until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have died asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the what? Trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. That's the word in Latin, rapture. Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Wow. So God says in Isaiah, I'm going to deliver my people. We know from the Bible in totality that God delivers His people by whatever means He chooses. The first guy that ever got raptured was Enoch. The Bible says he was walking with God, talking with God, communicating, and the Bible says that he was suddenly gone because God took him. He never died. That's wild. Well, listen to Galatians 5, verse 5. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. The Bible teaches the hope of righteousness is none other than the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because in that moment, friend, when you die as a believer or the rapture happens, you're instantly and forever changed into the glory of what God has engineered for us. Let's keep going. Are you guys okay with this? John chapter 14. John 14, verse 1, 2, and 3. I love this. I love this. By the way, I love my post-tribulationist friends. Listen, I know you go here because I talk to you guys in the courtyard and stuff all the time. So hang on to your seats because I love John 14. Jesus is the one who introduces the doctrine of the rapture Himself. So, for example, our post-tribulational friends say, post-tribbers, they'll say, oh, no, He's going to rapture the church, but when Christ comes back, it's at the end of the tribulation period, and when He comes back in the air, like 1 Thessalonians says, He's going to catch those up as He's coming down. They're going to come up, they're going to meet Him, and they're going to come right back down, and it's like a you know, you go up and you come down within a matter of moments, and then the kingdom age commences. That's nice. I don't see the point, but that's nice. But do yourself a favor then, for clarification for yourself. Take a pair of scissors and cut out of your Bible John 14, verses 1, 2, and 3. Because it says in John 14, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Get your finger ready. Pull it out. Get your finger ready, everybody. "In my Father's house are many mansions." Where is that? Can you point to that? Just metaphorically point up. Okay. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." Where is that point? Some of you won't point. You stubborn little people, you. "And if I go," did he go? Did Jesus leave? Where did he go? Yeah, to the Father's house. He went back. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am," where is he point? "That where I am, there you may be also." Wherever he is, he's there now preparing a place. He's gonna come and get you and take you to the place that he's been preparing. There's no other place but that place to where he is right now. Point to it, please, now. You have got to get there somehow. Jesus said, "I'll take you there." It's not going up and coming right back down. If you've got that happening, then you never have the church entering the place that he's been preparing in heaven above. He's there now preparing, and he can't wait to come pick you up. John 14, verses 1, 2, and 3. Jesus taught it. I can't wait for that to be fulfilled. I can't wait. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to those who eagerly wait for him." I got good news for you. He will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. It is incumbent upon every true believer. By the way, it's funny for me to even say this. It's funny for me to even preach it and teach it. It is incumbent upon every true believer to be waiting for Jesus. But I don't even have to say that to the real believer, because the real believer lives like that. Why? Because the Holy Spirit stirs your heart that he could come at any time. Why? Because he's going to take us to a place that he's been preparing. Could God someday fulfill Isaiah 57, 1 and 2 for us that way? Think of it. You say, "Well, that's a stretch, making Isaiah 50. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Isaiah 57 verses 1 and 2 is about the rapture. I'm saying God, from Genesis to Revelation, delivers his people. The rapture is a doctrine of the Bible. So is God delivering you through persecution or through martyrdom. If you die, Jesus said, "Don't worry about it." Jesus said, if a woman dies believing in me, yet shall he live. You can only kill the body. That's all you can kill is the body. "I'm going to kill you." No, you're not. You're going to kill my carcass. My carcass, my body. You can only kill this thing. You just release the inside of me. You need to know that, friend. If you're not a believer in Christ, the inside of you is the real you. When we're talking to you, looking in your eyeballs, when we look in your eyeballs, we're trying to know who you are. Your face is not who you are. That isn't you. "What do you mean it's my face?" You just have a face made out of material, biological structure. It's good. Listen, when you drop dead, that's only your body that drops dead. The part that thinks and sings and cries and has emotion and your passion and your dreams and your aggression and your all of the expression of you is nowhere found anywhere in your body. Wake up to that reality. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's only true of your body. When you lay down tonight, your head upon your pillow, it's only your body going to sleep. Think about it. Your spirit never sleeps. Maybe that's what's wrong with me. Your spirit never sleeps. Imagine your body goes to sleep and the inside of you is waiting. Isn't that amazing to think? When you die of old age or heart attack or by a Mack truck, whatever that is, it releases your spirit from your body. You're set free. The believer looks at death sometimes the wrong way. We need to remember from God's perspective, God is saying, I've delivered you from evil. Oh, Pastor, I'm so sad. My husband died. He loved the Lord, but he died. Okay, we are sorry for that. We do, and we're sorry. That's horrible. But remember, don't sorrow like those who have no hope. You can cry all you want. That's good. You do need to cry. You do need to mourn. Do it. It's normal. Just don't mourn without hope. Because God's going to bring your husband back when the Lord comes. I hope, ma'am, that that's exciting for you. I hope that's a good thing for you, but your husband will come back. You may meet him in the atmosphere with the Lord, and so shall you ever be with Jesus in heaven and with the family of God. So that's a very, very good thing. Colossians 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, this is his appearance, then you also will appear with him in glory. 1 John 3, 2. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Wow. Matthew 25, 13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. I like that. Whew. Mark 13, 33. Jesus said, take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country. He tells a parable now. Who left his household and gave authority to his servants, to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know neither when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning. Thus coming suddenly, verse 36 says, he find you sleeping. He's talking about ignorance and apathy. Verse 37 goes on, and what I say to you, I say to all. Jesus said, watch. I submit to you today that that's the most difficult thing as a Christian to do. It's hard to stay watching. Church, that's why we need, I mean this sincerely, church, that's why we need church. I don't mean a building. We need to stir up each other to good works because he's coming soon. We need to, like iron sharpens iron, we need to stay close to each other. Lisa and I were at a hotel this last few nights. That's part of that story I was telling you earlier. And you know how hotels sometimes have these little stores in them, little cafe type slash stores? You can buy a toothbrush or whatever's in there. So this place you can get coffee. So I just walk up there, just like to have a coffee, please, cup, whatever. And the lady gets my Americano and she hands it to me and she goes, here you go, Jack. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking, did I comb my hair this morning? Did I brush my teeth? What am I wearing right now? Because I stumbled down there, you know. Suddenly, in an hour that you think not, God is going to say, Jack, get up here. He's coming. In an hour that you think not, and Jesus said, be watching. Be in an attitude of watching, because God is about to deliver you, my friend, from evil. Well, Pastor, the doctor told me I've got 6 months to live. Then you've got 6 months of God's mercy and grace to be about your Father's business, to pack on up and get on out of here. The rest of us have got to live for a while, apparently. Think about the mercy of that. Someone told me that they had AIDS, that they're dying of AIDS because of their homosexual lifestyle. I said, think about the mercy of that. You can turn your heart to God. It's much more merciful than the Amtrak, right? It's much more merciful than rear-ending somebody on the 405 at 80 miles an hour and you die. The Bible says he was often rebuked and he hardens his heart against God can suddenly be taken away, and that without remedy. But to the person who gets a merciful note from God, you've got 3 days to live. You've got 3 months to live. You've got 3 years to live. This is God's mercy. Amen. See, in our mind, we want to live forever. And so you should live forever. Not here. I met some visitors on Sunday. Thank God. It's just amazing. Last Sunday was an amazing Sunday. Met people from so many different parts of the world visiting this church. Middle East, Europe, and Australia. And the two young ladies from Australia, I was asking them, what have you seen? Well, we've only been here for a little while, but we've been in Canada, and we've been in New York. And I said, how'd you like New York, New York City? They said, it was interesting. I said, what have you seen here? And you know what's sad when people visit here for the first time? It's very sad. By the way, if you're watching out there right now, don't make the mistake. Don't go to Hollywood. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Don't go to Hollywood. It's a joke. It's all fake. And don't go to Venice Beach. Right? And so they didn't like Hollywood. And I said, amen. I don't like it. I drive all the way around it. I don't even go through it. And I said, I haven't been to Venice Beach in about 30 years. So, you know, I'm sorry you went there. So what else did you do? Well, it just went downhill from there. Oh, no. And I'm like, what did you do? Well, we went to Disneyland. Paid an astronomical amount of money to stand in line. And we wound up taking a picture together and saying goodbye, realizing and saying, see you later. Maybe we'll see each other in heaven next. That's the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, see you in heaven. That's the truth. That's the truth for every one of God's children, because God is delivering us from this evil. I'm still going, you know, I said we'd get through the chapter tonight, guaranteed. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 8. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you'll have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. By the way, listen, don't raise your hand. Do you think that the Lord is going to come for you like a thief in the night? Because I don't. Oh, but Pastor, the Bible says he's going to come like a thief in the night. Mm-mm. You better read your Bible again carefully. In fact, let's start over. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. Translation, wake up, you're gonna feel it. It's gonna be a time and a season. You're not gonna know the day or the hour, but you're gonna sense something's up. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say, you are not a they. When they say, people who are not watching, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon who? Them. As labor pains upon a pregnant woman, they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. Say amen.
Amen.
You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, that is apathy, as others do, but let us watch, be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. For those who get drunk at night. Verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Mark chapter 8, verse 38. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words In this adulterous and sinful generation of him, the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Philippians 3, verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will, notice what's connected with his coming, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. Does that sound good to you? I need this. This is one of my favorites, by the way, this next one, Luke 21. You can get a tattoo of this one. Oh, this is a good one. Luke 21, 36. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy. Ooh, sounds like Isaiah 57, 1 and 2. The righteous are declared worthy by God. Counted worthy to what? Escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. You can't get more clear than that. And this one's for fun. Isaiah 26, 19. Your dead shall live. Together with my dead body, they shall arise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in the dust. Really? For your dew is like the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Sound familiar? Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourselves, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation is past. By the way, another word for indignation is wrath. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish who? The inhabitants of the earth. Why? For their iniquity. Church family, where, tell me, were your iniquities punished? On the cross. You're not of this world. What a great promise.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Lord Knows, Part 1. We really are glad you joined us today. You know, there's no rest for those who follow their own desires, so come to Jesus today to receive a peace that lasts forever and, by the way, passes all human understanding. The Lord Knows, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, so many of us go through this hectic and fast-paced life, not only depleted of energy, but depleted in spirit. But God doesn't want us to live that way, especially when we don't have to. That's why it's so important to start the day out not only with that loud beeping alarm clock, but with the soft whispering of the Lord telling us to come to him, and he'll give us strength. A time set aside for devotions is one way to gain that momentum we so desperately need, and to take a breath in the power of God's Holy Spirit. So if you need some help with devotions, Pastor Jack has a special devotions icon right there at our website. Simply go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and inside the devotions tab, you'll find a scripture along with a personal story from Pastor Jack. There's a new one every week, along with previous devotions that you can click on every day if you'd like. And you know, soon this special time with the Lord will become a great time of closeness, and you'll be writing down your own personal story of what the verse of the day means to you. Again, you can find devotions at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Or why don't you download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs mobile app? And if you need to get a hold of us for any reason, you can call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And don't forget, we have other ways to connect with us, such as Facebook, Instagram, and the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Or you can visit our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click right there on our contact tab. It's real easy, and we'd be happy to get back to you. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.